Sim? All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you, and we're glad that you're with us. Thanks for joining us online. We've got a few announcements this evening to run through. This coming week, so this Tuesday, 2 days away, Dr. Jim Shetler will be speaking for us. There'll be no services this Wednesday. They'll all be moved to Tuesday evening. All day will be the IFBF annual fellowship meeting, and everybody's welcome to join us for that, and that'd be a great day. There, and then if you're interested in helping out with mowing the lawn, there's a sign-up sheet out in the front, and I believe this is the last day to sign up for that, and you can also see Mr. Matt Kravolka or Pastor Brett if you have any questions about that. And then Saturday, April 27th, so just 2 weeks from Saturday, or 2 weeks from yesterday, we have our church work day, and if you noticed out in the front, there are sign-up sheets there now with specific jobs that you can sign up for that day. And you guys can check that out. It'll be Saturday, April 27th, 9 a.m. Teens earn some money for camp. And then Pastor Brett's getting ordained. And so it'll be a great day on May the 4th at 10 a.m. And all are welcome to join him as he gets grilled on that morning there. And it'll be great. Our missionaries of the week are the Conrads with the Carpenters Project. And as we heard this morning, there's a lot going on with that ministry, really all over the world. Specifically, they ask prayer for their churches in Haiti. As was mentioned this morning, the gangs are ruling the country and kidnapping is frequent. Pastor's wife was recently kidnapped and released only after a ransom was paid. And that's just one example of the things that are happening there. So churches in Haiti, pray for the churches in Myanmar, as there's still a civil war going on over there. And so there's a lot of casualties and just a lot of hardship that's happening in Myanmar. Pray for Ghana, West Africa, they have a Bible college there. And so pray for that. And then also there's a Baptist church there in Ghana. They're meeting outside, but when the rainy seasons come, they need a building. And so they have a building in progress, and so just pray that they'd be able to finish up this building there in Ghana. And then Julian, he's a new missionary to the Ivory Coast, starting to work there. And then they ask prayer for a Creole Bible translation project. And that's a lot to pray for, but very, very big things to be praying for with the Conrads and the Carpenters Project there. I'd like to ask the ushers to please come forward and receive this evening's tithes and offerings. And Brother Devin, could you pray for the Conrads, Carpenters Project, and the offerings this evening?
Heavenly Father, it's so good to be in your house, Lord. And right now we just thank you for this beautiful day. You're a good God, whether it's raining or sunny, Lord, but we're thankful for the sunny weather, Lord. Bless this offering, Lord. I pray that it would go far beyond what we could imagine for the gospel's sake. And we pray for the Conrads with the Carpenters Project, the persecution, the struggles, the gangs that are taking over this country, Lord. I pray that you'd give comfort, give peace, and, Lord, just give them the strength they need and the grace that they need to deal with this and the wisdom. And, Lord, I just pray you'd give an extra measure of blessing to that ministry now. Pray for the service, Lord. I just pray that you'd bless the singing, bless the preaching of your word, and just fill our hearts with your spirit this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we praise God in song, let's remember the great grace that God has given us. Wonderful grace of Jesus.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall this praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Rather than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the other.
Missing a few people today. So, birthday or anniversary? Birthday. When was your birthday, Brian? Who's your Savior? Since you were 17. Okay. He's already worried about sharing his age. Since I was 17. Yeah. Anyone else? Birthdays or anniversaries this last week? Is that it? Wow. You have the only one out here. Let's sing happy birthday to Brian all by himself. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of God's word. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. May your hearts be sanctified by God's word this evening. You may be seated.
All right. You can stand as we sing. And make sure you watch me on this last chorus, too. We're going to have the instruments drop out, go a cappella, and we're going to hold out some notes. Blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed. my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my soul.
Song. We sing our hymn of the week, Blessed Jesus.
Blessed Jesus, can you bear once again to hear my prayer? Sin betrayed me, as you said. So sanctify salvation wrought, thy blood hath bought.
stand for the last verse, and we'll have the instruments drop out on the last chorus and finish a cappella.
Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen I shall be, at thy right hand completely. Be justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned but for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Great singing, you may be seated.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong is right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the
Amen. People need the Lord, which brings us to our time of testimony. We're looking for hearing about how you have had opportunity to share the gospel with people. I believe that that the gospel ought to be shared not just on Thursday nights, right? It ought to be shared on a regular basis by God's people. So we're looking for opportunities you've had, God's given you, to share the gospel. Try to get five of them in on Sunday nights if we can. Who'll be first? Mr. Zach. I won't throw it at you. There you go.
All right, if I get talking too fast or this gets a little loud, just wave your hand at me and I'll try to adjust. But I'm ashamed to say that every Sunday night since we started this, I've sat in the pew and felt really convicted. But that's good. And I want to encourage you, those of you like me, who this is a weakness, and I'll admit that. But it's better to not embrace the conviction, but do something about that conviction now while we have that opportunity, rather than go into eternity and meet Jesus and say, hey, it didn't really do much for you. So I know God's at work in this church because I know for a fact he's working through y'all and helping me. And that being said, I have to be really intentional about witnessing. Otherwise, it just kind of falls by the wayside and I shamefully just go about my business. So intentionally, I was thinking, who should I witness to? Friends at work or school or whatever. There's a lot of panhandlers in Indianapolis, let alone the South Side. And it's interesting because I used to be a police officer, and with that kind of comes an attitude of disdain or contempt for panhandlers or just, I don't want to say criminals, just people of that type. I think we all understand, you know, what that nudge is. The Holy Spirit was guiding me towards panhandlers. And there was a specific panhandler that came to my mind. I didn't know who he was. I just knew he's always there at Southport Road and 465 exit as you exit southbound. So I kind of, I knew that was my target, if I could say target. So I was thinking, how could I do this? Well, we have tracks. That's the easiest. Man, it's so easy. It's almost I don't know, a cheat. But I started collecting tracks, and I've heard a few of you. First of all, I want to encourage those of you who get up here and talk, because God's working through you, and he's encouraging those like me and convicting us and working through you, helping us, weaker ones. But anyways, that was an example y'all brought to me, was the track ministry. This past Friday, I had a great opportunity. He was there. It was a great day. It wasn't a great day. It was rainy. So I rolled down my window. I gave him some cash and a quick track. I tried not to bribe him with make sure you read this if I pay you. I tried not to do that, but I gave him that, went about my business. Yesterday, he was there again. His name's Billy. I've seen him there quite a bit. I talked to Billy yesterday just quickly in passing. I asked him if he read the tract. He said he still has it in his pocket, but he hasn't read it. So I told him, hey, read it. I told him, I don't have any money for you today, but read. That's worth more than money. He told me he would, and he was polite to me and stuff like that. So my request for y'all is pray for Billy. Pray for me that I would continue try to keep up with Billy. And I don't want to be the only one keeping up with Billy. If y'all see Billy out there, Southport Road, 465 exit, as you're coming south, his name's Billy. He's a nice guy from just talking to him for 5 minutes. Another thing that I've heard from the pulpit here was, this is a problem I had with being a police officer, is giving to those, and, well, I'm not going to give to this guy because he's probably not going to be wise with his money. That's not for us to do, right? So that was a hurdle I had to do for myself. I know these panhandlers can be, it's hard to trust panhandlers, but it's a great opportunity to witness and kind of get your foot in the door there. So pray for Billy. If you see Billy, say, hey, Billy, how you doing? Have you read the track? Or, you know, whatever. Whatever comes to your heart or your mind or whatever. But, yep.
Wouldn't it be incredible if like 10 or 15 people this week said that to Billy? Hey, Billy, we've been praying for you. You know, our church is praying for you. That'd be exciting. Thank you, Zach. Anybody else? Mr. Matt.
This past Monday, something happened in the sky that I'm sure all of us were aware of. And So, you know, Brinley's school was canceled. We didn't go into work. I mean, we were home all day. And so were our neighbors. And they had family come over, and they had a couple kids that were around Brinley's age, so the kids are all kind of running back and forth. And we got to know our neighbors really well, even though we lived in that house for 4 years. It was good. We got to talk a little bit about the Lord, and they're not saved. They're not against the idea, so to speak. But it's just kind of like, oh, that's good for you type thing. So, but it was also a kind of reminder that, you know, we have people that they live, you know, maybe God gave us this house for this reason, right? And so with Memorial Day or 4th of July, if you could, you know, pray for Bruce and Lori and their family, and that hopefully they always host holidays at their house, and he's out there grilling, and so I have a captive audience because he's not going to let all of his steaks burn by going inside. But, you know, and even just a reminder to you, right, if you live in a neighborhood and you have neighbors and you haven't talked to them in 4 years, that's okay. But maybe God's going to provide an opportunity for that, and be ready.
Anybody else? Miss Becky.
A couple of years ago, we had a birthday party for Isaac, and he took his invitations to school, passed them around his class, and his teacher said, you know what? I sometimes go to kids' parties. Do you mind if I come? And so we said, sure, of course. And she has a little boy that's Seth's age, and so they came, and they swam, and she asked what we were doing this next week, and it happened to be the weekend before revival, so we told her we were coming to revival, and the kids were really excited, and she was kind of surprised that the kids were excited to come to a week of church. And she said, you know what, sometime we might come. Well, 2 years later, she came this morning. She just reached out of the blue and said, you know what, I'm really thinking about getting my child into church, and we want to come with you guys. So she was here this morning, and I think she might be back.
God gives the increase, right? Amen. Mr. John?
Mm-hmm. So last week I had a question asked to me that kind of stopped me in my tracks for a second there. There's a young gal that she'd just been promoted to a manager position, like a lower manager position that had been transferred to our store, kind of like a stepping stone for however far her career will take her. And we were all working in the back. She was back there working with us that day. And she asked me, John, do you ever get angry? Yes. You can ask my wife. Why would you ask that? Well, I've never seen you angry. I've always seen you happy. Like, what, how? And at first I thought she was joking or something, but she was just standing there ready to hear something, like hear the secret type thing. So I thought, well, you know, Jesus Christ has made the difference in my life. He paid for my sin debt. And a bonus is that as we were conversing, guess who walked up and listened in on us? Caleb did. So God's keep working on that ice pick. So
that is wonderful. So that, you know, I love when the Lord just gives you those kinds of opportunities. But please note that we are an epistle known and read of all men. People are watching whether we like it or not. Miss Anna?
Tonight's more of an encouragement, a reminder. I had two things happen this week that kind of just reminded me why I need to be faithfully sharing, not just, sometimes it's easier for me to share with people I don't know, just to kind of talk to them and give them a track or ask them, but when you become very close with someone, like at work, sometimes it's hard to break that. I try to be a godly example, but I have a friend, she was a very dear friend when we worked together several years back, and we got to talking personally, and so she knew about all of my children that have gone on to heaven, and she just couldn't understand how we can maintain happiness and be joyful And I would always just tell her, I know where they are. I know I'm going to see them again. It's going to be a wonderful, beautiful meeting. And this week, she delivered her second child, stillborn, and she was 40 weeks. And all I could think of was, thank you, Lord, that I didn't have to go through that. She's been on my heart, and I thought, she knows where I stand. She embraces a lot of things. She's a beautiful and wonderful person, and we've talked about the Lord, not exactly the plan of salvation. And I think, how will she ever see her child again if I don't tell her? And so I'm in a spot, because I don't want to come at her and be one of those holier-than-thou people who says, well, you know, this is God, he's a good God. Well, she's hurting. And right now, that's hard to understand when you don't know the peace of God and you don't have that. So that's something that I've been thinking about all week and trying to figure out how I'm going to approach that. And then at work, I've mentioned before that in the mornings, I've been filling in, and we do devotionals. And these ladies know the old hymns. They know the Lord, and you can just see them close their eyes, and they put their hands up, and they start singing these hymns, and it's such a blessing. And we had a new lady who came in to start training this week. And she didn't seem to have that. You can just kind of see in people's faces when we start singing, you can kind of tell they're like, whoa, what's going on, if they don't have a background in church. And she's trying to stop a specific addiction that she has, and she felt very free to share it with the girls that were there. I say girls, they're almost 100. but she felt, and she said, you know, I'm really trying. I'm making steps toward stopping. And one of the ladies always says, oh, well, let me pray for you. And she'll pray, and her words aren't right. She's got some dementia, but it's the most beautiful prayers ever. And I said, well, what do you think you can do for her? And she said, well, we can come alongside her, and we can pray for her. And I said, yeah, you can pray for her. And so this lady prayed, and then another lady said, well, I want to pray for her. And so she prayed that God would help her with this addiction. And then another one came in and prayed. And this woman sat on the couch and held her hands over her face, and just, she sobbed. And she looked at me, and she said, no one has ever prayed for me. No one has ever told me that they're praying for me. And I thought, oh, my word, to go through a whole lifetime. And the Lord brought it to my mind, you know, the song tonight, People Need the Lord. I think growing up in a Christian home and being surrounded by, you know, Christian family and great churches my whole life, I'm kind of blind to the fact that there are people who really don't know who God is. And it was a very stark reminder. I mean, she could not stop crying. And she went around to each of those ladies and thanked them for praying for her. And it was powerful. It shocks me that somebody my age or older just has never had anybody say, let me pray for you. So she, that's something I'm going to be working on, but just a good reminder.
Andrew's come on up and tell us what you're doing to help the gospel get out. Andrews is visiting our church tonight. He's a missionary with Baptist World Mission. So tell us about it.
Thank you, Pastor. My name is Andrew Swanson, and God's called me to Uganda, Africa, where I'm serving with Worldview Ministries and Baptist World Mission. And I'm involved in getting the Bible translated into the Mahdi language currently, as well as the Lukonza language. There's roughly 7,400 languages spoken throughout our world today, and half those languages don't have any portion of Scripture translated into their language. And so currently with the Mahdi language, we're coming to the conclusion of the translating the New Testament into the Mahdi language. We have the Mahdi team is currently working on group checks in Matthew. Then they'll be moving on to Revelation. And then, Lord willing, around July or August, they'll be finishing the final checks throughout the entire New Testament, and then they'll go on to the printing and distribution phase. The Lukonza language I helped start a couple years ago in 2021, and there's four nationals who are working on that translation. They're in southwest Uganda, and we start off with Mark. They've translated six books so far and are currently working their way through Acts. And it's just a tremendous honor and privilege for me to be able to serve the Lord, and especially in the area of getting God's word into the heart language of so many people that need God's word. And it's just such a privilege to consider that I have God's word in my language, and it's just an honor and privilege to be able to get God's word also into the language of so many other people around the world.
Thank you, Anders. Appreciate that. So Anders knows his Greek and Hebrew well, and they'll go in to find some people that understand English, and then he works with them in translating from the Greek and Hebrew into their heart language, which is really an incredible thing. So take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. We'll keep the theme going. I'm aware of the time. We'll get there, right? In John chapter 4, we're kind of working ourselves through the harmony of the Gospels. And in John chapter 4, we come to that story of the woman of the well. We've talked about this a little bit, but we're going to look at it a little more technically tonight and look at how, since this has really been a great setup for this message, if I can use that word, setup. So we had People Need the Lord. What a great song for us to consider as we're thinking about it. Zach saying, I'm trying to figure out how to share the gospel. Miss Anna saying, I'm trying to figure out how to get the gospel in there. John's like, the Lord just keeps opening doors. Miss Becky's like, you know, God just continued to open. You know, Matt's like, the door's opening up over here. This is what God does. So then sometimes, and I was really thinking about Miss Anna's conversation here was, you know, when you get to know someone and you're going to keep having contact with them, that's the hardest ones, I think, it is to share the gospel. It's easier to share the gospel with a waiter, you know, who you may never see again, than the person who you're going to see again tomorrow. Because if it gets awkward in the moment that you're having the conversation today, then tomorrow is going to be really awkward when you see them, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, right? So it gets a little bit harder. So Jesus is going to really show us some things, or not just Jesus, here in John chapter 4. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into this. Father, as we look at this passage, help us to grow in your grace. Give us the boldness that comes through your Spirit to share the gospel. And may we be looking for those opportunities as you open the doors, and we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Interestingly enough, I'm aware that Jesus sent the 70 out by twos and said, go and talk to people. Go. And I'm not suggesting that it's not good to have a time in which you go. All right, there's no suggestion there. But the reality is, as you see the gospel, it is really that daily carrying of the gospel and how we work the gospel into our everyday life, which is what Jesus is doing here in John chapter 4. And Jesus is giving us a great example. That when therefore, we're starting at verse 1, and I'm going to try to read through this almost entire passage. So, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And look at verse 4. He, what does it say? Must needs go through Samaria. You know, so now that is an important thing. So, now, whether or not the must needs meaning, you know, they had a reason besides this that they were going through, or that Jesus determined he was going to go there. If you know anything about the Jews and the Samaritans, they don't get along. They don't get along. And so literally, the Jewish people would typically take the road around Samaria rather than going through it. But Jesus is going to lead them through it, and there's an occasion that's going to take place here. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near unto the parcel of ground which Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now that's an important thing as well, right? Because, you know, it's being in the right place at the right time is often what happens with the gospel. The Lord opens the door, and it's just an unusual thing. So then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, and I want you to catch this. You've already heard me say this to you before, but please note it. What Jesus does not say, if you died right now, you know you go to heaven? That's not how he starts the conversation. He doesn't start that. That's kind of, you know, our soul-winning lessons. You know, let's start the conversation. If you die right now, you know you go to heaven. Jesus doesn't do that. He starts the conversation almost casually. Now, I'll grant you that because Jesus is a Jew and she's Samaritan, and because Jesus is a man and she's a woman, and because of the time of history that we're in, it's unusual for Jesus to speak to her at all. You understand? Which is an important thing that we understand here. In other words, Jesus goes out of the norm. He takes the conversation away from what would have been expected. And I want to say, if you want to get somebody's attention, then take the conversation outside of what would be expected. You know, can you refill my water glass? Is expected. Taking the conversation outside of where it's expected. So that's what Jesus is looking to do here. And so he says, hey, can you give me a drink? And verse 8 says, for his disciples have gone away in the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, the next thing Jesus says, so it's important. So Jesus starts a conversation that a lot of things could have happened. She could have said no and walked away. She could have ignored him and walked away. She could have just gone and gotten something for him to drink and given it to him. You know, the conversation, Jesus is not forcing any of this conversation. He's opening a door for this woman to do something with. Now, so here's what happens. Take a look then at verse 10. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, that's a big statement, right? That is a huge, huge statement. It's like where John was at just a minute ago. Do you ever lose your temper? Why do you ask? Well, because it seems like you never lose your temper. Well, let me tell you why I can have joy when often people don't. Jesus Christ has paid my debt for my sin. Wow, great. You know, it opens a door for a conversation. And you know, allowing that door to go ahead and be opened is great. Then stepping through it, Jesus then kind of steps through it and says, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink, and I'd give you living water. And the woman said unto her, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Remember now, the Samaritans are kind of half-breed Jews, and so they do hold on to Jewish tradition and Jewish history and heritage. And so Jacob gave them the well. And so Jesus answered, verse 13, and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him. By the way, if you read the story, I don't see any place where Jesus ever finally gets a drink. isn't that something? So anyway, they just start this conversation. It keeps going. Anyway, it says, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, again, at any point, the woman is free to end this conversation. Jesus hasn't tied her down. He hasn't backed her into a corner. You know, I've told you stories I went through as a teenager. I got saved when I was 16, and I think it was that same year when I was 16 that I attended a training thing for how to share the gospel. And I would tell you who did it, but there's no reason for me to throw anybody under the bus. But here's what they said. First thing you do is have physical contact. So like if you shake hands, don't let go. Or take them by the back of the arm. Because people won't typically just jerk away. And now, especially back then, I will tell you that nowadays you might find that to be different. Okay, and so the point is that they're trying to back people into a corner, and they literally would say, "You always ask questions that you give them the answer you want. You don't want to go to hell, do you?" And you're shaking your head, no. You want to go to heaven, don't you? Yes. Well, then let's pray. And you slip your hand up from the back of their arm to the back of their neck and apply light pressure. I'm not making this up. That's what they told us to do. It's fundamental Baptists out there telling us how to, and they would walk through a city and on a Saturday afternoon and say, wow, we had 400 people trust Christ. I don't think so. I don't think that's the way it was working. You understand? Because Jesus didn't do that. At any time, this lady is free to say, I'm out of here, and she's the one that keeps the conversation going. So Jesus, says, hey, I could give you life. A water that will bring a well of life spring up in you. And the woman in verse 15 says, sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, neither come hither to draw. Now Jesus has to get her to understand why she needs his water. Take a look at the next verse. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." And the trap is set. Now, I'm going to tell you, honestly, you and I are at a disadvantage in this story because we don't know what Jesus knows. You understand? Jesus knows something about this woman that we wouldn't have known. But there's also a situation, circumstance, where sometimes you do know. And we ought to take the knowledge that we have, this is what Jesus is showing us, and use it for the advantage of the gospel. So he says, "Hey, why don't you go get your husband and bring him back and we'll talk." And she says, go on, look at it. The woman answers, said, "I have no husband." And Jesus says, "You're right. Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou now hast is not thy husband." Yikes. Do you see what Jesus has done? He's now brought her to the place of understanding why she so desperately needs the water he's offering. Because sin has messed up her life. And that's an important thing for it. And thou hast said truly, and the woman said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." I mean, and now, don't misunderstand. No one's going to look at us, at least I hope, and say, "Hey, I think you're a prophet," you know, as we're talking. But what they're going to see is that there's truth being spoken. They're going to pick up on the idea that there's truth being spoken. And just as surely as we talked this morning about how that truth sets you free, you know, they're going to be drawn into that truth. Not always, not 100%, but that's what happens with this woman. She's drawn in. And our fathers worship in this mountain. You say that you worship in that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation," there's that word, "is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." So you have the gospel, you have the mention of salvation, and then you have the idea that the Father is seeking people out. The Father is out there, you know, trying to draw people in. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then the woman brings up the next topic. Look at this. "I know that Messiah cometh," she says. "I know there's going to be a Savior coming, which is called Christ. And when he is coming, he'll tell us all things." Now, she keeps this conversation going. Now Jesus says, "I that speak unto thee am he." Let's just put it right out there, right? I have the truth. I am that Messiah. I'm the one you're seeking after. Now, verse 27 is kind of a weird little verse. It's thrown in here because it's in the middle of this conversation, but I've labeled it this, the quote-unquote Christian response. Here's what we get sometimes when we start reaching. You know, you've heard me say this before. Ministry is sticky. It's sticky. Jesus said, "I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners." And in order for us to be out there getting the gospel out to people who need it, it's sticky. I preached at a, I've got to be careful what I'm saying. But anyway, this last Friday and Saturday, I preached at a marriage thing. And I'm talking to this couple, a very sweet, nice couple, recently saved. And so later on, I'm talking to the pastor about them. "Hey, I got to meet these people. They're really nice, really sweet couple." And so here's the sticky, all right? She's in the middle of a divorce. They're having a child together. This new couple is having a child together. She's not divorced, but they've just recently gotten saved. What do you do with them? It's called sticky, right? And a lot of times churches would just as soon do nothing with them, because how do you untangle that mess? How do you fix all of that? And that's the point about ministry, is we're stepping into people's lives. And this woman is a great example, right? Most people would just bypass this woman. Look at all you have to do to untangle this mess. She's had five husbands. The guy she's living with now isn't her husband. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. And so here come the Christians along. Look at verse 27. "And upon this came his disciples and marveled," not that she was responding. They marveled that Jesus would take time to talk to her. Look at this. They marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet they didn't say anything. They didn't say anything like, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? Right? That's what they're thinking. They just didn't say it. They just didn't say it. It's the Christian response. But Jesus ignores that Christian response. Look at what happens. So that's what happens there. That's Jesus. Now I want you to learn from a second person in this same story who's going to show us how to witness. Now, look at verse 28. And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, this is the second way that people go about witnessing, right? First of all, she leaves. Everything. I've got to go do something and tell these people. She makes it a point to get out there, and she puts it right out there. You guys have to meet this guy. He's the Messiah. Is not this guy the Christ? I've met him. You know, now, I'm going to be honest with you. It's probably easier for the new Christian to do exactly what this new Christian is doing, right? Going out there and saying, wow, let me tell you what just happened. I just met the Messiah. Come on, you got to meet him. You know, now, those of us who are old in our faith, we don't have the privilege of being saved, but I just met the Messiah, right? We met the Messiah years ago, and we've become much more sophisticated in our approach. But, I mean, she just goes out there and just tells it just like it is. Look what happens. This is amazing. And by the way, that come and see concept that she uses is over. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the great invitation of the Scripture, right? So she says, hey, you got to come and see this. And verse 30 says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 31, another little parenthesis here, another Christian response. Let's take a look at it. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, begged him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. No, hear me out. I want you to catch what's happening here. Jesus is focused on the woman. The disciples, their focus on the woman was, why is he talking to her? And then their next focus is, let's get him away from talking to her, and Master, you need to eat. You know, there's some important things for you to do over here. Master, you need to eat. And so often we get caught up in, can I say this? They're ministering to Jesus. I'm not having no problems with the fact that they want to take care of Jesus, right? Sometimes we get so caught up in ministry, in our, as I think it was you, Miss Anna, was talking about our circle that, you know, you grew up in that, in churches, and it's easy for us to forget that outside of the doors, there's a lost and dying world. And here are the disciples. Come on, Master, let's keep this circle nice and tight. Come on, Master, eat with us. Let's fellowship over here. This is that Christian response, and it's a problem. The Master, he says, I have meat that you don't have, and the disciples looked at one another, has any man brought him anything to eat? And Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Jesus says, we need to focus on the things that are right. So then he goes on, and he's trying to get them to get outside of the bubble. That's what the next verses are about, where Jesus is talking to the Christians in the group here. He says, say ye not that in 4 months harvest is coming? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the hills, for they are white already into harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is a true saying, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Jesus says, listen, there's a whole field out there just waiting for you, and it's time we stop focusing on our bubble and recognize that there's a work, and sometimes you're actually going to be gaining from other people's labors. Here's the idea. Some sow, some water, God gives the increase. So sometimes when you get a chance to lead, I remember some of Pastor Andrew's neighbors, I don't know if you guys remember Johnny and Jessica or not, you know, so Pastor Andrew had been working with them for like 2 years, and so one day they came to church, and I had a chance to sit down with them, and I led them to the Lord. Now, Pastor Andrew had been working with them for 2 years, I got to lead them to the Lord, right? Like, oh yeah, Pastor, you got to lead them to the Lord. I really, I mean, how much credit can I take for that, right? Nothing. You know, all I did was they came in, I'm like, hey, let's talk. But Pastor Andrew laid it all out. So that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's like, listen, I missed a verse there. 4 months to harvest. Lift up your eyes, he says. Let's get past that. You guys are focusing on the, is ministry important? It is. I don't want to misunderstand. Ministry is important. But I don't want us to get so focused on ministry. We're going to minister to this group, and we're going to minister to this group, and we're going to minister to this group. And we have a great church of ministering to each other. But outside is a field already whitened to harvest, just waiting for God's people to go and harvest. And so Jesus is focused on a woman. The disciples are focused here on this circle. And sometimes, I didn't bring up the circle. Miss Anna did, so it's her fault. But there you go. Let's keep going. So finally, you know, this woman now goes out. She's just putting it out there. Look at verse 39. I love this, and we'll be done. And many of the Samaritans that believed of that city believed on him. Why? For the saying of the woman which testified. So she goes out and says, you guys have got to come and meet the Messiah. And many of those believed on him because of what the woman said. So verse 40, when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 more days. And look at verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word. So some of them responded from the woman giving testimony, and now as that seed has been sown and they come and hear Jesus speak, some of them respond there, because even Jesus himself is fulfilling the thing that he just said. Sometimes we build on other people's work. And she's gone out and given a testimony. They've come in to find out, and now Jesus has, you know, and many have believed and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him for ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. So that's what we're trying to do on Sunday nights, that we're working through this. It works out great that we had that song. It works out great with the testimonies that we had tonight. And it works out great with going through, you know, our harmonies of the gospel. Here we are in John chapter 4. We have Jesus and his example of how to witness. We have the woman and her example of how to witness. We have a rebuke as we watch the disciples and their response to Jesus and the woman and their witnessing. There's a world outside that needs the gospel. And here we are, carriers of the gospel. Let's do what God's called us to do. Father, help us to be burdened for the souls of men. Help us not to get so caught up in other things that might be important. It's important that Jesus eat, but that help us not get so caught up in those things that we forget that there's a field already white unto harvest. God, I pray that you would burden us for the souls of men in such a way that we'll carry the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not going to sing an invitation, all right? I'm going to tell you how this is going to work. So the invitation is going to be this. The invitation is out there in the field, all right? But I'm going to sing for you. Do you mind if I sing for you? I know you're wanting to go home. Too bad. I'm going to sing for you. I'm going to sing 2 songs for you. I won't sing all of them, all the song, but, you know, they're just popping in my brain. That's just the way my brain works, all right? So, there is peace and contentment. You guys know this song? If you know it, sing it with me. In my Father's house today, lots of food on the table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around the table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. Wow. That's a rough one. My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth I walk beside you day by day. You could have led me straight to him. My knowledge then was very dim, but never once did you tell me the way. You called me friend, but that was then, when we were young and best of friends, and living there on dear old planet Earth. But it's too late, you've sealed my fate. I'll never see the pearly gate. You never told me of the second birth. And now I'm lost forever. I'm burning in this awful place. I'm suffering so much pain here. Yet through it all I see your face. I'm glad you're bound for heaven, and you won't reach this bitter end. But it's so hard to be here, knowing that you were once my friend. So let's go out into the field this week, can we? Come back next week ready to share how God has used us in the field that is ready to be harvested. Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, give you peace. God bless you. You are dismissed.